Okay, our reading's from Ephesians tonight. It's chapter 2. And it starts at verse 11, and it goes through to 22. And it's titled, One in Christ. Therefore, remember that formerly you were our Gentiles by birth, and called uncircumcised by those who called themselves circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to those who are far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling place, a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And that's where the reading ends. Thanks be to God.
Well, good evening again. Now, it's going to be a bit of a different service this evening. You're going to take part. And I've got the one pen, and I have it on good authority that should the pen run out, Gemma will in fact come forward and stick her tongue out and let me moisten the nib. So what I want is lots of ideas from you guys. I'm working on this pen running out this evening, okay? Now, a word of explanation before we start is that I'm not John Weaver. For those of you who thought I might be, I'm not. John, in fact, was due to preach this evening, and because it was the first Sunday of the new year, he was given a free text from which to preach. So he selected Ephesians 2, verses 11 to 22, and then went sick. I consider it to be a deliberate act, but I understand he's actually very poorly, so we do need to remember him in our prayers. But actually, you know, he deemed it appropriate to find some poor, unsuspecting associate pastor to step in and take over this evening. So I've not had a whole lot of preparation for this, so if this is weak, that's why. Of course, if it's brilliant, well, you know, I'm not going to say anything else. So actually, we're going to start straight in with you contributing to this evening. If you were to, what would you say were the things that best define humanity? Though, if you imagine an extraterrestrial observer, what would they go back as the headlines for their report on humanity? What defines us? What are our accomplishments? I want the pen to run out. This silence is not doing it, okay? What would our accomplishments be? Good and bad, yeah. Greed, okay. What I'll try and do, I'll put bad here. And we'll see if we can provide a bit of balance. So we'll have good over here, and we'll hope we get some. Can everybody see that, or do I need to write? Well, you can't, probably at the back, but there's space at the front if you can't see it. So greed, anything else? Love, okay. I'm guessing that's a good one. So I'm going to put that here. Ah, choice. Now, there's a... Okay. I'm going to put that in the middle. Communication. Is that good or bad? I'm going to put it here for a good reason, I think. Communication. Keep shouting them out, because I think you're starting to get the idea now. Commune. Community. Community. Okay. Community. And then somebody else had one.
Harmony.
Harmony. Oh, I like that one. Okay. Right. Harmony.
Humor.
Yeah. Some would say that my sense of humor goes over in this column. I'm going to put it on this one. Okay. Humor. Resilience. We're on a roll now, look. Compassion. Sorry, what was on after compassion? Patience. Is that something that does define humanity? Or would it be impatience on the other side, do you think? Patience. I'm going to put patience in the middle here, look. Because I'm not actually sure that...
Quarrelling.
Oh, now we might be getting somewhere here, Lorna. Quarrelling. I'll put that over here. Right. Cruelty. Hunger. Hang on, hunger. What was the... Indifference. That wasn't the one I heard originally. All right. Adaptability. Okay. Sorry, what was that?
Daftness.
I'll put that under humour, can I? So what other, if you were looking from outer space, if you weren't to meet a human being, but you were to see the results of humanity, what might we then be thinking about?
Destruction.
Creativity.
Hypocrisy.
I can't write this fast, you know. Busyness. Busyness. Now, there was a couple of others that I didn't get. What? Oppression. Oppression. I'm going to put that in the middle because I haven't got room anywhere else, but it goes over here. Well, it's in here. Thoughtlessness. All right, okay. I'm going to go down here now. No, that was that. But thoughtlessness. We need to be thoughtlessness-less. There's not enough thoughtlessness-lessness in the world. I'm going to draw a line there. These are really good. These are fantastic ideas. The pen's still working, but we'll come back to that. These are really good ideas. One of the things I was thinking about, you know, as an observer looking down, that the idea of the war and the destruction and stuff, that was one of the things that I thought we would actually see. It's interesting, if we can have the first slide, it's interesting that the first thing that's man-made, that's visible from outer space, some people look at and they say, that's amazing. What an amazing structure that is. It's visible from outer space. The Great Wall of China. It's a barrier. It's a boundary. It was made by one lot of humans to keep another lot of humans out. And in fact, in this day, it's probably designed to keep some of those humans in. And millions died building it. So something, one of the first man-made objects, if you like, one of the first examples of mankind's mark on the planet that you can see as you approach Earth, took the lives of millions of people, and it marks division. What barriers do you think we put between each other? So not the accomplishments of man now, right? We've filled a page there, that's a good page. What do we put in the way of one another? Sorry? Trust. We put that, mistrust. Yep, sorry, okay, mistrust. Bitterness. Yep. Control. Anger. Envy. Culture. Now that's an interesting one, yeah? Class distinction, yeah? Sorry, there was one unforgiveness. Unforgiveness and revenge was the other one, wasn't it? Fear. Misunderstanding. Yeah. Misunderstanding. Religion. Misery. Do we put that, do we just cause that, or do we actually use misery to divide people? There is definitely misery in the world. What I'm looking to see is those things that we actually have some control over, but that we allow to cause division. All of these things, we actually have some control over. Sorry? I still didn't hear. Gender. Gender. We definitely allow gender to come between us. Color. Sexuality. Finance. Pride. Yeah. Intellect. You can tell my intellect isn't going to get in the way of anything. I'm not sure I can spell it, actually. Intellect. There we are. Okay, yeah. Protection. I'll put defense as well because... Sorry? Hatred. And we got that one. Oh, we had it on the other page. Hatred. Okay. Disability. We allow that to divide. Nationality, was that? Okay. We put a lot of things in the way of each other. So our third and final page, and then you can sit back and rest for a minute. Unless the pen still works, in which case I might come back. Our third and final page. Without going for the obvious three-letter word straight away, what divides us from God? What are the things that we allow to keep ourselves from God? Power, I heard somebody say. Pride. Fear. Guilt, that's a good one. Hang on, I got two at once. Ignorance and the unknown, was that? Okay. Ignorance, unknown. Hang on. You're thinking faster than I can write. What was that? Oh, I do. Oh, yep, okay. Sorry, I didn't hear very well, Liz. Idolatry. Control. Stress. Temptation. Yeah, you're going towards the S word, aren't you? You're going towards the sin word. Temptation. Ambition. Sorry? Comfort. Ooh. Ooh, comfort. Okay, yeah. Materialism. Lazy. Anger and wanting our own way. What would that be? Yeah, selfishness, yeah. Okay. Sorry? Lack of knowledge. Can we include that under ignorance? Yeah? So, what I was hoping we might see is actually the things that probably negatively define humanity, the things that actually cause division between humanity and humanity, and the things that cause division between humanity and God are all pretty much the same kind of stuff. The root of the problem is us. Yeah? When we build barriers between ourselves and God, or between ourselves and ourselves, one another, we stop doing things. We stop talking. We stop listening. We stop. In fact, the second slide. There's a second slide. Yeah. We put up barriers by the way we behave. That's a picture of the temple, yeah? The temple in Jerusalem, or an artist's impression, obviously. And the thing is, there was this wall of partition. Even people that all wanted to approach God, man said, some of you are in this far and some of you are out. Even in a mutual faith, there was division. Even in the temple, even God's dwelling place, among his chosen people, and there was division. Okay? In Genesis, we're told of something completely different. In Genesis, we're told of how we as humanity were created and had open relationship with God. We were free to wander where we wanted. We were free to do what we wanted, with one exception. Basically, all we had to do was be obedient to God, and we had open access to our Heavenly Father. We could talk with him when we wanted, meet with him when we wanted. Can we watch the video, please?
Yes, enabling human beings to work together to build the impossible. Mankind. mankind's greatest achievements have come about by talking. And its greatest failures by not talking. It doesn't have to be like this. Our greatest hopes could become reality in the future. With the technology at our disposal, the possibilities are unbounded. All we need to do is make sure we keep talking.
This sermon brought to you by BT.
That was obviously a BT advert from about 5 years ago, which said that all the greatest things that mankind has achieved was done by us talking to one another, and all of the worst things of mankind have been as a result of us not talking to one another. And actually, the root of our problem is actually the fact that we're not talking to God, and we're not listening to what he is saying. Okay? When mankind blocked that open relationship with God, God realized that we were too human, too selfish. And when you look at all the stuff we've listed on these three pages, probably too stupid to actually seek a way of correcting it. We couldn't resolve the situation ourselves. And so God, the Almighty God, the awesome God, the Holy God that we spoke of this morning, reached out his hand and sent Jesus. And we are told in the reading that Christian read to us that Jesus broke through the wall of hostility to bring peace to humanity and reconciliation with God. Jesus became, in the moment of his death and resurrection, a conduit, a tunnel through which we could once again have that relationship with God. He became first and foremost the high priest through which we could approach God. He repaired the relationship that was broken by our selfishness, but he didn't stop there. He broke down the dividing wall that we had. He broke down the barriers, allowing those Gentiles who previously weren't allowed to worship with the chosen people. Gentiles could worship now with Jews, foreigners with Israelites, men with women, slaves with free men. Maybe now, with that kind of reconciliation, we could start to let our imagination run wild and imagine the true meaning of ecumenical. All manner of churches meeting together, all manner of denominations, regardless of dividing lines, without doctrinal division or theological barrier, worshipping the one true God together. Maybe even people who up until now hadn't had access to God could meet with God through the living Christ. Christ is our peace. It is in the love of Christ that people come to love each other as a family. In the love of the cross, we find reconciliation. As we are loved and accepted, so we are freed and released to love and accept others. But it gets better. We are told that we are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Now, to be a citizen, if you look it up in the dictionary, it says a free man or an inhabitant. A free man. You are free to go anywhere in the kingdom of God. You are free to inhabit the kingdom of God. Without boundary, without barrier. As citizens, we can go anywhere in the power of the kingdom of God. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, it refers to us as being ambassadors for Christ. And if as citizens in the kingdom we can go anywhere, as ambassadors, we have diplomatic immunity. We are no longer bound by the natural laws of this world, the laws that promote division and hatred, the laws that cause us to separate and schism. Instead, as citizens of heaven on earth, free to operate under the kingdom laws, we can love one another. We can release the oppressed, preach the good news, heal the sick. The reason we don't see a whole lot of healing in this life is because we believe the world around us. The world says healings don't happen. The world says that wars are sometimes inevitable. The world says that division between humanity is acceptable. God's kingdom laws say different. The kingdom says that in the authority of Jesus' name, in a life lived in that name and the authority that he brings, healings do happen. Wars can be avoided. Division has been dealt with in Christ. There is a quiet, unspoken division that all too easily affects each and every one of us. There is the division between in here and out there. See, we come on Sunday and we nod sagely at the sermons. Well, assuming there's something in the sermon to nod sagely at, but sometimes we take notes. We'll stand and sing and mean what we're singing when we do it. Then we'll stop and we'll have coffee and we'll fellowship together. And then we go downstairs and we approach the front door and we're confronted by that division between in here and out there. It's one that we're so familiar with, we don't often pay it any regard. Without realizing it, not intentionally, and certainly never deliberately or consciously, we take off those bits of our faith, those bits of the sermon, the challenges of God, and we hang them on a little hook with our name on, down in the foyer, so we can pick them up next week and put them on when we come up to the sanctuary. See, perhaps it's not easy to be a kingdom citizen at work because people would think I've gone mad. I've never behaved like a Christian at work before, so they'd call me a hypocrite. If I began to live this stuff, I'd have to stop cheating on my wife. I'd have to stop sleeping with my boyfriend. I'd have to stop gossiping about other people at church. I'd have to stop being mean and spiteful to others in the same group. Jesus died to heal that division too. Jesus seeks to empower us to overcome all division in our life. But sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we have to reach out a hand to someone we really don't want to take the hand of. Sometimes we have to speak to someone we really wouldn't want to speak to, because they hurt us, because they're unkind. Reconciliation, the making of peace, cost Jesus Christ his life. The rewards of the relationship on offer are amazing and free. We are told at the end of the chapter that we read that we are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. What type of buildings are we? Individually, what type of building am I? Am I a fit house for God's Spirit? At the communion table, we celebrate being the body of Christ, forgiven and accepted, reconciled and renewed in Christ. Paul attacks the Corinthian church for their divisions, their lack of love, their superiority, their super spirituality, their lack of care. It's not the Lord's Supper you are celebrating when you are so divided, he says. At the table, as at the cross, barriers are removed. As we approach a time of communion, I'd like us to pause and think. What division, or what divisions are there in my life? Are there grudges, doubts, personal agendas, theological stand or an issue at church that causes division between the kingdom of God and me? Have I been tacitly endorsing the division between in here and out there? Have I been leaving the uncomfortable bits of living a holy life in the foyer until next week? And what sort of dwelling for God's Spirit do I want to be? Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on a foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple to the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Let's say together, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.